everyone. Welcome to a new segment of What's Up With Work Lately. I'm Emil. I'm joined with my colleagues Charlie and Mariam. How are y'all doing?
Hello.
Hi. Doing good, as always.
How are you, Emil?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm pretty excited about this episode. We got a representative from Héros de Chez Nous. Going to talk to us about their project, as well as their how they want to bridge the divide with the AI skills gap. And then also, we got a little CKUTS doing a fundraiser.
Yes, so this is our funding drive. We are live and in studio for a reason. CKUT is doing its annual funding drive this week. So to all our lovely listeners, if you want to keep your radio station thriving, yes, do go to CKUT. The theme for this year is Montreal Sounds Like CKUT, and our station goal is $50,000. So please continue to support your local community radio station. And speaking of local support, we have our summit coming up next week. So we're hosting this this show on behalf of Youthful Cities, which is a youth social impact group by young people for young people. And we're trying to gather 50, 60 youth at the Centre Georges Vanier next week to talk about that. And we have a really exciting partnership. So obviously CKUT is a partner of ours, but so is La Maison d'Innovation Sociale and Héros de Nos Jours. We'll be speaking to Rosalie Parisien shortly about that organization that we're really excited to partner with. We have a couple of other exciting partners.
Oh, yeah, I see you're looking at me. We do. We absolutely do. And my mind is absolutely blank right now. But
we have Resin from Our Roots. We have PAC, very graciously.
Absolutely, always.
Pan-Asian Collective.
We also have, just shout out to the great food we're going to get. We're going to have our first day catered by their Park X Curry Collective, as we always support, you know, grassroots and collectives. And on the second day, we are going to be catered by Kansin Toka, who is an amazing entrepreneur, youth entrepreneur, living in Montreal now, giving us some amazingly Afro-vegan fusion food.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've had that, sure. But it is delicious, and I'm honestly most excited about the food.
That is so exciting. So yeah, the 27th and the 28th of this month, the funding drive will have just ended, and we're going to be doing our Youthful Cities Urban Work Summit. So if you're a young person in Montreal who speaks French and needs $250, or maybe even $10,000 if your project is incubated, please come our way at Centre Culturel Georges Vanier.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear all your ideas and like... And then also we want to hear what type of projects you all come up with. So I'm looking forward to meeting you all and looking forward to seeing your creativity flourish over the 2 days and the pitch night.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. All right. So we're going to take a quick music break and then we'll be back with Héros de Chez Nous. So excited about that.
à moi. Et si Mercure est en rétrograde, qu'avec le temps cesse de croire au mirage, que les étoiles abandonnent, il faudra qu'on rayonne comme au premier baiser. Et si Mercure est en rétrograde, qu'avec le temps cesse de croire au mirage, que les étoiles abandonnent, il faudra qu'on rayonne comme au premier baiser. Qui coulait des étoiles, et sur toutes mes envies, il poussait des planètes où partir en cavale. Et une fois endormi, ce qui était avant un paysage tropical, soudainement refroidi par ce qui nous hante quand nos cœurs se déballent.
Joining us, we have Rosalie Parisienne from Héro de Chez Nous. Rosalie, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So to begin, tell us a bit about yourself and your professional background.
So I'm Rosalie Parisienne from Héro de Chez Nous. I'm in charge of communication. When I was a student, I decided to study communication and public relations because it was creative and strategic, and also because there was no math. I hated math when I was a teenager. I didn't relate to anything about, putting numbers and letters together. I never understood very much till I came along with Héro de Chez Nous, and now I promote STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and also AI, so artificial intelligence. So basically, the lesson is to stay open-minded and curious when you're young, because you never really know where life is going to take you.
Yeah, that is very interesting indeed, because like, even though you said you didn't relate to math, all of a sudden you're in a career and an avenue where you're promoting the sciences and math. But so like a funny turn of events.
So, yes, exactly.
So tell us about the overall mission of Héro de Chez Nous and their vision.
Héro de Chez Nous, we educate in STEM, so again, science, technology, engineering, and math, and AI, intelligence, artificial, with video content, workshop in class, conferences, and presents in events. Our goal is to reach out the most students in Quebec as possible and to be accessible by everyone, to have a social impact. So we want to educate the youth because they're going to come and work with AI, you know, and how the job market is going to change based on technology.
Yes, I love to hear that, especially how the job market will be changing really fast, really soon. So you don't want anyone to be left behind. So very noble mission.
Thank you.
All right, next question, because I saw that Haodishunu is really, really new, and that was launched in 2018. So since the pandemic came shortly after that, how did the pandemic and the post-pandemic affect the organization and its services?
Well, I got to be honest, I started at Ehochinu in September, but I did my research. So before, in 2018, what they did, they started to go in classes and schools to give workshop. Our founder, Radipar, also met over 2,000 young people. And they also created content with the team of expertise. And we also, during the pandemic, we went online to give workshops because the school were always interested to work with us, right? And we also partnership with Télé Québec to put our video content online, and it's also on YouTube, so it could be broadcast for the world to see, and especially in Quebec, so the youth could see it. And online content is basically our series called Pose Techno IA. We talk with experts in AI with different backgrounds, and it is interesting to see that they're very rich, for example, in terms of knowledge. For example, we have Harold Dumur, which he started his own company called OVA, and he, you know, dropped out of college and came back later at university and founded his own entreprise, his own business, which is very interesting for us to talk about, and also whatever career is in STEM or in AI.
That's so cool. This is Miriam. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi, Miriam.
So demystifying AI just as a concept, like, that's data moves faster than people these days. And I think a lot of organizations are aware of, like, the human aspect without necessarily being very good at it. Would you say that it's an easy job to demystify AI? You yourself, you know, have been a student, like a frustrated student once, but...
Yes, it's very interesting because I could relate to the youth that don't very, you know, as I said, I hated math, so I could relate to that when I was a teenager. But I wouldn't say it's difficult. It's a very fun thing to do, because what I like to see is the difference between when we enter the class and when we end the class. For instance, there's a girl, she was talking with me and she was like, oh, I'm failing math. I don't like it. I don't know how technology is going to help us. I'm scared that the human connection is going to be lost. Mm-hmm. So what I told her is AI could help you actually have human connection. And she looked at me and she said, how? I was like, well, you're a teen. You probably don't drive yet. How are you going to see your friends if your parents are busy or their parents are busy? I told her, can AI help you with that? And she was like, oh, maybe a car that could drive itself, go pick up my friend and come back to my house and then we could chill. I was like, that's exactly the role that AI could have if we use it smartly.
Yeah, it's the same industry, eh? People don't think about it, but it is. That's so cool.
Yeah,
so that's what I love about my job. It's the impact that we have on the youth and how they could come up with solutions based on their needs and based on whatever is coming up.
Yeah, I also just wanted to, this is Charlie, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to bounce on how you said that, you know, Ehodishinu has some videos on YouTube and stuff. Like, I find that it seems quite accessible because not everyone, you know, has access to AI and, like, AI courses and everything. So it sounds like you guys are going to schools and have videos on the internet. Like, if it sounds relatively accessible, and I appreciate that aspect of Ehodishinu. I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you so much. Yes, I love it too, because we want to be accessible. We want the experts to go talk to the youth. That's why we also organize conferences, mm-hmm. which one is coming up on Saturday, so the 23rd. Exciting. We're giving an experience to the youth at Longueuil from 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock. It's accessible by the metro, and we want people to, you know, ask questions, open up the discussion with the experts and the youth. So they could all talk together, experience also technology objects like virtual reality or whatnot.
Oh, yes. Sounds like a very exciting event. I would love to make it this Saturday, so you might see me there.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to see all your team there.
That would be so fun. Mm. How is the working at Héro de chez nous? How is the work culture?
Oh, I love it. I actually started at Héro de chez nous as a content creator. Mm-hmm. So I started on social media. And later on, they gave me tasks that were more into administration or, like, you know, networking. And furthermore, they asked me if I would be interested in a higher position, which is in communications, where I do have partnerships to work on, where I have also social media to work on and so much more. And that makes me very happy because they saw the potential that I had and they asked me to have a role that is as high as my expectations and as high as where I want to be in life. So that was very interesting. And the work culture is very open-minded. I do have to, you know, sometimes have 9 to 5, mm-hmm. but I'm also allowed to adapt my schedule around my personal life. So it's a good adaptation, and they're very open-minded. It's like a startup, you know? We kind of have that vibe where we are open-minded about others, and we also love to socialize between our team when we can, when we're at the, you know, our headquarter, which is in Montreal. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting to go see the team, to work with them. And we're also very connected because we love technology, right? So that's sure. about it.
Oh, yes. So congratulations on that promotion.
Thank you so much.
You're very good at your job.
Thank you.
All right. So next question. What are some main obstacles that you notice in the public adopting AI tools?
Well, I would say that's a very interesting question. It's actually the education. And what I mean is that you have to educate yourself on any tools, right? Mm-hmm. Such as a hammer. A hammer can help you build a house or destroy an object. So when you know how to use a hammer, you're not going to, you know, break anything because you know how to use it and how it could help you build something. That's why AI is it's important to get educated and to know how to use it in a way that benefits you or optimize your productivity. For instance, I use ChatGPT as a personal cooking assistant, which means that I go into my fridge, I look what's left. So for instance, I don't know, milk, pasta, and, you know, cheese. So I'm going to ask, can you make me a recipe with that? And he's going to tell me how to do a mac and cheese based on the ingredients that is left in my fridge.
Okay,
so that's a great way that I love to use that tool. Yeah.
I just want to bounce on that because you just solved everybody who has ADHD's life problem here.
I can't believe I didn't think about that.
Yes, I am adding this to my phone right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, it's a very great way to see how AI could, you know, help you in everyday life. I use it too in marketing because I have to, you know, come with prompts for social media. So mm-hmm. I do use ChatGPT as a base, but I do not copy it. It's just a base for me to have ideas whenever you have, you know, the blank page mm-hmm. symptom. Mm-hmm. So that helps me too. I would say I use it as an assistant because the thing is, I don't want to, you know, be dependent on AI, but it could really help me.
Mm-hmm. I like what you're doing now, even in this interview, because it's not only demystification, it's a destigmatization, I think. I think there's a lot of people who don't necessarily come from a background that's analytical or tech-based. They don't necessarily have the best positive associations to, you know, automation in general, let alone supercomputers. So, yeah, I really like that inherently we're not talking about these tools as a good or bad thing, but just as what they are, which is tools.
Yeah, exactly. They're there to help you with a need that you have, and that could be such as cooking, as your job, as your, you know, sport manager. I don't know. It could be really anything you need. Mm-hmm. And the youth are going to become, you know, what we state at Erochino is that we're all consumers, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not all developers. So we want the youth to become more of a developer mindset, mm-hmm. so they could be part of the solution and they could help them and their, you know, colleagues become better with AI and be more into technology, so it could help the human and not, you know, go into the path where it's not always accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But it's also funny, too, as Miriam did mention about the destigmatization, especially depending on which generation you come from. Because, mm-hmm. like, I remember back when I was growing up, you know, even though I was born in 1999, people thought, like, in the year 2000, all the computers were shut down, and then all this, like, apocalyptic type of outcome. And then, like, there was a lot of movies based on those fears, too. Yeah. Like, even, like, when I was a kid, Terminator, and, like, you know, all the AI. So, like, it's nice to, like, clear out those, like, those fears out of the way, and then know that, like, you know, this is actually a solution to many, many problems and mm-hmm. not the problems in itself, so.
Yeah, regardless of everything that people could be scared of, AI is going to be a tool, you know, and that's what Erochino wants to talk about and let the youth see how it could help them. And we also talk about the future competence and the job market, how is that going to affect them? Because the Dell Institute stated that 85% of the future jobs aren't even in our society right now. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there in 2030, and the jobs, we don't even know them yet. You know, for instance, the one that I really like to talk about is influencers.
Yeah.
Because we never thought it would be such a thing, but YouTube made it possible. Mm-hmm. So maybe AI is going to make, you know, other job possible that you never thought of, and that you could even create your own. So that's what Erochino wants to make the youth understand, that it's going to help them and not, you know, go into the like you said, if it's bad or good, it's coming up. So let's know how to work with it.
That's so interesting that you named that Dell stat as well, because, I mean, so we're a research and innovation group here, and we've been asking young people under 30 over and over. We've been interviewing them about, you know, what they think the future of work in cities for young people looks like. And I think one of the questions that we ask in our qualitative research that I'm going to ask you now is, how can cities be more responsive to the needs of young people, and specifically those transitioning into the workforce? I know you're a Montrealer yourself, but you also have that urban-suburban relationship. So, yeah, when it comes to Montreal, like, what is your relationship with that future?
Oh, that's very interesting. Well, right now we have a project that is called Career of the Future, and which is the workshop that we go into. And our facilitator, Thomas, realized that there's a difference between, you know, the suburbs and the cities. So what he meant is that the suburbs are less connected to urban technology versus the city are more in touch with technology. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an interesting thing to state, because we have work to do behind that and education. And also, I believe, like, Montreal is a big city with a lot of AI companies. Mm-hmm. We can think of Google, Ubisoft. We could also think about La Déclaration d'éthique en intelligence artificielle, which is happening right now in Montreal. So I think Montreal is a plaque tournante, which means there's a lot of people, there's a lot of expertise, and we all have to work together to combine our efforts to make AI happen in a way that is going to help us as a city to be connected one to another.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Thank you for elaborating.
Yeah, and then also, like, I'd like to expand on the topic of how the cities will work. Because, like, since, as you say, you're trying to reach youth of many different backgrounds and to make sure that everyone's up to speed with the digital literacy, What policy changes would you like to see to better support communities in developing these digital skills?
Yes, the policy that Hirochinu and I also would love to see is content accessibility. Mm. As said, there's a lot of content that is online, but we also want to go in private public schools, the youth detention classes that are made for adaptation, and communities that are further than Montreal, because we also go in Quebec, in Quebec cities, Saguenay. We go South Shore, North Shore. We visited 8 régions administratives. So we want to be more and more accessible to maybe throughout all the province and make sure that every student has a base on AI, because the thing is, there's a need, because the teachers, they can teach, but AI is going so fast that they cannot always keep up with it. So that's why there are experts that keep up with AI and that could help build content for the youth and be accessible throughout our activities.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going so fast, you know, like Emil and I were like 25 and we're like, I mean, Emil, you're much more savvy on it than I am. But, you know, like sometimes I need some AI generated something and I just look across my desk and I'm like, Emil, can you figure this out, please? And he gets it in 3 seconds. But I'm like, I'm only 25, you know? So it's like, how are the older generations doing and how are the younger generations keeping up? It's, I don't know.
Oh, I think it's very funny. Last time, you know when you call someone but it's not expected, like you didn't do on purpose? I called my mom on a without noticing exactly. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, oh, you do that too. And I'm like, yes, I still do that. I am 27 and I still, you know, make errors with technology. And it happens and it's all right because we're all, you know, humans. But I think we have to learn from each other, right? We have to learn from the past. And as a youth, we also have to learn in the present. So there's like this coexistence, mm-hmm. I think. For example, I also had a colleague that she was like, oh, you're so fast on, you know, typing on a keyboard. But to me, you know, that was natural because I was like born with a keyboard, right? So mm-hmm. it's about telling them how we could help them and how they can help us. So we're all, you know, connected.
Yeah.
Yes, because as the wise saying goes, you can learn something from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we're both of our missions. You know, we try to serve underserved groups, and I think that when it comes to technology, we do sometimes have that gap. And right now, every lab is bringing AI to the table for funding reasons. So you're right that Montreal is going through a very exciting time. But then sometimes when we were studying with the students from ETS, for example, we polled them and we asked them, mm-hmm. oh, do you use, ETS is École Technologie Supérieure,
mm-hmm.
and they said not at all. They were like zero.
Oh yeah, they said they were like delayed, yeah. That they were learning on past due technology.
Yeah. So I see that your project's cutoff is from 12 to 25, that's a huge range. Do you find, like, that the skills that will be expected from the generations of youth, like, I mean, you're a youth yourself, but even, let's say, a youth from a different part of life, what kind of skills will we see across the board, do you think, in the future for young people?
I think there's a lot of skills that are going to be developed that I can't even tell because it's going to be in the future. But something I could tell, example, there's a job that is going to be called prompt engineering, which means what prompt are you going to put in the chat box so you could arrive to a result the fastest way. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be that. There's going to be also all the data that we were going to have. How are we going to analyze that, which is something that you guys do. So I think that's interesting, too, because we're going to have more data, but it's how can we use that as a good way to help us human connect and build something out of technology.
That's so interesting. Yeah, actually, we built our own chatbot, our Youthful Cities chatbot.
Wow, congrats.
But sometimes it's hard to it's hard to engage young people who have never worked with a chatbot before. Mm-hmm. We have, right now, we're trying to get it working in French, and it's working very well with, like, a translator plugin. But sometimes we're sort of like, okay, like, how do we incorporate this naturally into a workshop? So if you have any advice about making it fun to use a chatbot en groupe, our summit is next week.
Yeah, like a last-minute wisdom from the experienced Herod and who do this all the time.
Yeah, I think also the question is, how do you make your chat box more interesting than the others?
I think that for what I've seen in classes and what our facilitator Toma has seen too, mm-hmm. is that when you give concrete example on how it could help them, such as I gave as the recipe cooking mm-hmm. assistant, well, it tells you like, oh, that's how I could use it or how I could see it in my reality, because we have different realities, right? Mm-hmm. So our goal is to be the more accessible and inclusive about realities of the students and the communities, and how could that adapt to everyone. Of course, we don't have like a miracle solution, but I think it would to adapt your content to who you're talking to and who you're speaking with. And that's by making human connections and understanding what are their needs and how AI could help their needs, you know.
Yeah.
That would be a good... How can the chat box help their needs in terms of everyday life?
Oh, yeah, so that way it's like going from something that seems abstract to something that they can personally connect and relate to.
I think I would need a chat box to tell me what a chat box can do for me.
Yeah, that's good. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are so excited either way. Yeah, and your event coming up seems super interesting. Is it all day in Longueuil?
Yeah, it's all day. So it's from 10 to 4 p.m. It's at Université de Sherbrooke au campus de Longueuil, which means it's in the University of Sherbrooke, but it's at their base in Longueuil.
Mm-hmm.
So that is accessible by the metro. You don't even have to go outside. So either it's raining, snowing, whatever, you could just walk through the hallways and you'll get to the university. And also we'll have experts, we'll have panels, Q&As, we're going to make technology accessible to everyone by the kiosk and the video content. And we also have our partner who is called Reconnaître.
Okay.
They're our education partner. They will host a little zone scolaire, which is an education zone for the youth, so they could know what kind of future competence they need and what programs they could enter to help technology later on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sounds like a very exciting event that I'm looking
forward to. Yeah, it's going to be very fun. There's going to be also des jeux de lumière, des jeux de son, so it's going to be a lot dynamic, and it's for the youth, so if any young people are listening to us, it's for you that we're doing this, so please come join us.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much, Rosalie. I think that's all the questions we had for you, but hopefully we can have you on air as well in the future, and we're really excited to work with you, and we have a lot of values and a mission in common. We're very touched by groups and communities that could use support but don't necessarily have access to it. And I think technology plays such a big part in the future for young people that what you're doing now is not only great but kind of necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to mention or say? Shout out to Kyusa, your content creator. I guess he took a job that you no longer needed.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. And I would say my ending, you know, I love to just say a little advice. It's just to be open-minded and stay updated and curious about what the future could hold for you, either with AI technology or within yourself. What kind of future do you see for yourself? I know it's a lot of pressure, but I think it's just to be curious, and that would be my ending note. So thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, that's one of the youthful city's values as
that's
well.
That's our value too.
I was about to say
yes,
this.
Love it.
Yeah,
it's a match made in heaven.
Oh yeah.
So follow Ero Chinu on social media, everyone listening, and thank you so much, Rosalie Parisien, for your time today.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Megan Oak will be playing us out. Thank you. Bye.
Ton cœur est lourd et je ne peux le porter. Je nous dessine chacune de notre côté. Tu m'as dit, toi t'es pas ici. Ça fait partie de ma vie, ma poésie. Je nous dessine sur des pages qu'il faut tourner. La seule au milieu de mes orages. Je me suis perdue dans mes milliers de visages. Même si demain je pourrais tomber à nouveau, je veux tout prendre, je veux embrasser le chaos. Je redessine ce qui en moi a changé. On m'a dit, toi t'es pas ici, t'en fais plus partie de ma vie, ma poésie. T'en fais plus partie de ma poésie.
étranger. Une rose, une offrande, la plus petite des prises me repousse au large. Retourne à la maison.
Nice playlist of tracks we just heard.
Yeah, it was Pamibé de Miel de Montagne, who I thought was Quebecois, but we just learned is actually French, so my bad here.
That's okay. We had a lot of Canadian content this episode. We had some Léonie Gray Jazz Fest fave. I'm going to get back to you on the other ones. I'm just going to look them up.
Well, in the meantime, we will keep promoting our summit coming up during the 27th and 28th of March. The deadline for application is today.
Yes, it is.
Spots tonight. Are still available, and you know we're supporting local. I'm trying to address the issues that Montreal is facing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we're encouraging the local youth to come up with their own ideas and start their entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, and you get a chance to win a micro grant and potentially be mentored by one of the three of us.
that is not the hardest sell I've ever.
I think it's the best sell.
I wouldn't be mentored by myself. I would be mentored by one of the many, many beautiful partners that we have engaged.
That is fair.
But is fair. We're okay. We do okay.
We do good. Indeed.
Yeah. This will be our third summit. So we were in Vancouver in January, and then we were in Calgary in February, and then we got to stay home. Just for this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting. The space is beautiful, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The space is nice. It's going to be nice and cozy and warm. And we hope that Montreal Weather will be decided on what he wants to do by that time.
Yes. I honestly was imagining it would be beautiful. And then I biked in the snow. And now it didn't occur to me that it might be this weather. Kind of something to process.
Yes, but on the plus side, it is located at less than a 5-minute walk from Lionel-Gouin metro station, which is an accessible metro station, and the location is an accessible location, which makes me think of why aren't all metro stations accessible, actually?
I don't know. I know that in recent years there's been a lot of funding allocated to renovating places like the area around Parc La Fontaine to mm-hmm. be more accessible. But that being said, the construction zone makes it so vehemently inaccessible even for able-bodied people that mm-hmm. in the 2 years it's better. I think sometimes those investments don't go through. But yeah. I will say, like, when you think of a city like Tokyo that has only accessible metro stations, you see more people in the world living their lives. So yeah,
that is
good
true.
Question, Charlie. I don't have the answer.
You do not? I am so disappointed.
You know, I guess that'll be part of our vision for what we want to see from Montreal down the road. So maybe if people have a little project they can pitch at our our pitch night for a summit.
Yes.
And we would love to hear how you guys think Montreal metros can become more accessible.
So, look at you, Emil, giving them ideas already.
That's a great plug. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah,
yes, so our summit is the 27th, 28th of March, so it's coming up in a little over a week. However, April 11th, can you tell us a bit about that, Emil?
Oh, yes, April 11th, that's where we have our little pitch night. So some of the ideas that you started working on during the summit,
mm-hmm.
we have a little two-week time frame to further develop it. You can reach and be in touch with us or some of the mentors that we partner with to fully develop. And then, like, I love the pitch night because it's almost like a Dragon Den type of vibe, because, like, I used to love watching that show. Where it's like people work on their pitch routines, and then so then not only is it like how good their idea is, but also the presentation is key. And then, like, some people like use a bit of like of the crowd to engage with the pitch style. So
yeah, it's like a social impact, youth driven Dragon's Den without millionaires.
Yeah. I'm more familiar with like Shark Tank.
It's identical.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Identical. I'm just Canadian.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Canadian.
Yeah. I think there's an economics professor at McGill who just plays episodes of Shark Tank.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, I'll take that class.
You don't have a TV.
Yeah. Anyway, not everybody has a TV barrier.
That's
but
true. Speaking of barriers. Yeah, so Emil touched on what we can develop. Our summits, all four of them, they follow a model that Youthful Cities is tried and true model, A, B, C, D. So where are we at? Where do we want to be? What can we create? And what do we develop with all these ideas? So 2 days for a summit, it's a long day. It's like a 10 to 5, but it's not necessarily enough for the youth or the attendees, the delegates, as we're calling them, to fully have their pitch restored. So that's why they have that 2-week break until April 11th. And we're holding it in-house, confirmed. La Piscine downstairs will be hosting it. So that's where we work. We work at the pool.
We were all disappointed when we realized there's not an actual jacuzzi.
No, we work at the business center. We work at La Piscine, which is a kind of like an incubator for social enterprises. So it's on 914 Notre-Dame. It's
west.
Right west, thank you. So it's right on Robert Bourassa and Notre-Dame. And that's where we've gotten to connect with really cool groups like Héros de chez nous, who we just heard from, and we're also really excited to have our soirée pitch there, because it's kind of on our turf, and we can accommodate young people, obviously free of charge, or actually even financed, to do their work.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful space as well.
It is. It is. Charlie has been amazing at organizing basically the entirety of the logistics. Our coordinator for the space even asked kind of for the scope of the project, and I could tell him some details, like how many people would be there. And I even promised him one of your, like, your map cartographies, Charlie, with the stage, like, you know, when you draw the stage and the tables and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was like, yeah, some.
You're selling me out there. I'm not that organized. I'm organized, but...
No, you still got the nice vision, you know?
It is a very nice vision. I am proud of myself. I like doing maps, so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, what else are you excited about the summit? There's going to be food.
There's going to be great speakers. I'm excited for the speakers. I don't know if we can disclose any names, but from the couple of names that I've seen, I am very excited. There's more speakers than we expected.
Yeah.
So we'll make that work.
Absolutely. We have some really stacked panels. It's going to be a very active summit, so it's going to be very horizontal conversations, like kind of interactive conversations, but we have a lot of people who care about young people, or are young people, and I'm just really excited to give that space, because I think it's going to be really impactful, for lack of a better word.
I'm also excited for, like, the delegates, you know, like, a lot of different profiles. Some are entrepreneurs, some are students, some have jobs in, like, different fields, some are artists, you know, like, artists, and so I'm excited to meet all these people and the networking that's possible there as well. And just, you know, meet the core of youth in Montreal. Montreal is so cool. The youth there is even cooler, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that this summit, I mean, we kind of have different themes in every summit. And I think that there's something to be said about, I think there's a lot more social justice in Montreal, or at least the people who are in social justice movements maybe get involved at a slightly younger age than the other cities. So I think that there's a lot of people that at these summits who are kind of really good at the game, you know? They both are networkers and they're activists, or they're artists and they're students. And I really want that kind of synergy. We also have a partner in ACTION, which is, I believe, the Afro-Caribbean Synergy Network of Canada, so we'll be partnering with them for the summit, just like we're partnering with Héros de chez nous, hoping to have representation, hoping to have mentors, hoping to have delegates, hoping to have people who,
everybody's there for the same reason, just love Montreal and love being there and living and working and playing there.
Oh yes, and love Montreal for the potential, and what they can create to make Montreal even better than what it already is.
Absolutely.
You know, we're only moving forward and only moving up from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next time you talk to us, we will be one Montreal Urban Work Summit richer.
Yes. A bit less stressed.
A bit less stressed. Absolutely. All right. So this has been Emile, Charlie, and Mariam for What's Up With Work Lately. Thank you so much for joining us. Any last words?
Have a good night.
Hope you all enjoy your night, and hopefully I see you all at the Urban Work Summit in the 27th and 28th.
Hell yeah.
Amazing. Playing us out is Frenchman, not Montrealer, Miel de Montagne.
I'm so disappointed.
star. Et j'en ai rien à faire d'être riche ou fashion. Moi, tout ce que je veux faire, c'est te prendre à la PlayStation.
We need $50,000 to keep CKUT on the map. Powering a nonprofit radio station is more expensive than ever. Will you answer the call of your community before it's too late? Donate now by visiting ckut.ca/donate or by calling 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, the sound of Montreal since 1987.
Ça résonne comme Montréal, ça a l'air de CKUT. La campagne de financement annuelle est de retour et cette année, nous célébrons la ville qui nous a donné notre identité. Branchez-vous de vendredi le 15 mars au dimanche le 24 mars pour des programmes spéciaux en direct créés par nos programmateurs préférés et un live stream exclusif en ligne pour la première fois dans l'histoire de la station. Les amis et la famille de CKUT jouent les tunes pour notre fête d'ouverture à Bar La Marche à Côté le 14 mars et lors de notre soirée de fermeture le 23 mars à Nouvel Établissement. Notre objectif de 50 000 est essentiel pour préserver la place de CKUT sur la carte. Alimenter notre organisation sans but lucratif est de plus dispendieuse que jamais. Est-ce que vous allez répondre à l'appel de votre communauté avant que ça soit trop tard? Donnez aujourd'hui en visitant ckut.ca/donate ou en appelant 514-907-9424. CKUT 90.3 FM, la bande sonore de Montréal depuis 1987.
Salut, ici Anaïs Constantin, autrice, compositrice, interprète. Vous écoutez Lesbo Son avec Nathalie Dupalma sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonsoir.